Hilariously Melbourne. For Spotlight, helping you create, decorate and celebrate with bargains galore this Christmas. Make Christmas yours with Spotlight.
We're gonna send some toys, gonna help them out. It takes you, it takes me, but this Christmas it will be for the kids. No matter where they're from, they're gonna have a gift on Christmas morn. From Mountain to Doreen, yes, this Christmas it will be for the kids.
This has, the feedback we've had so far and the money that we've already been able to raise and what's been beautiful, we've had lots of children who have been ringing in and donating their own pocket money, and what a wonderful thing to pass that on, because Christmas is a special time, and that feeling that you've got and that your kids get when they wake up on Christmas Day, imagine not having that. And we know that there are particularly vulnerable kids doing it particularly tough living in foster care. And we're really rapt to be joined by somebody who's lived through that. And when he was growing up, he was in foster care. His name's Fraser Wiley from Lilydale. Fraser, thanks so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you so much for having me, guys.
Well, Fraser, I mean, you've lived through this. We know that you lived in foster care when you were a teenager. And we were even saying yesterday, we spoke to somebody at Anglicare who was saying teenagers get forgotten a bit at Christmas too. Can you tell us what that was like in foster care, particularly around Christmas time? Are kids maybe overlooked and not getting the presents they need?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's definitely correct. I think, especially with teenagers and kids, I think you can feel so separated at Christmas. And, you know, it's supposed to be a time of love and joy and gifts and things like that. And you can feel really, really forgotten about. And maybe, like, you might not get that present that you wanted, or you know, you just want to dream big, and maybe you don't have the option to dream big.
Fraze, when I think of Christmas, and I think most people around Melbourne think family, and that's the best thing about Christmas. You open the presents with all your kids or your brothers and your sisters, and then your family come over for your Sunday, your Christmas lunch. Now, you're in foster care. You're away from your siblings. You got separated?
Yeah, definitely. So away from all of your siblings, away from waking up Christmas morning and being able to open all those presents together and be there for one another and laugh and, you know, have those Christmas celebrations, and you just don't have that.
It's so tough, Fraser, and hearing firsthand from you, because I think we can live in little bubbles and not think about other people. And I think one thing we've learned through this whole pandemic and the way Melbourne and Victoria, we've really banded together, I just think it's such an important thing for us to do, to really rally now harder than ever, because I think particularly with the last couple of years, I think more families are doing it tough, and we don't want to overlook anyone, Fraser, you know, like yourself when you were growing up in foster care.
What are your Christmases like now, Fraser?
Well, I'm so lucky that I've had the most amazing journey, and, you know, Anglicare took care of me as a teenager when I was homeless, that I managed to find, I guess, my family and my place, and now my Christmases are the most joyous times ever, and I feel spoiled rotten, which is so amazing. I didn't when I was a kid, and I didn't have that opportunity, so it feels really nice now. Actually, it's something I look forward to.
Well, you've done so well, mate. You've got your Harrow and Harvest Cafe in Lilydale, which is great. You've got a team of eight. You're kicking goals. But back when you were in the foster care, what would it have meant to you? So we're raising money. I think we've hit $30,000. We've got a goal of $100,000 to give to the kids of Melbourne. What would that mean to you, getting a present at Christmas and knowing that people actually care?
Yeah, of course. Look, when I was homeless, I basically was on the street with a bag on my back. That was all I had at the age of 14. So being having presents at Christmas and having that joyous and you know, getting those gifts would absolutely mean the world to me. If, you know, I remember feeling so spoiled by Anglicare even when I was, 14 and homeless, and it just felt so amazing, and I felt like someone cared about me.
Full Fraser, we loved having you on the show and hearing your story. And you can go and say hi to Fraser at the Harrow and Harvest Cafe. Let's give you a plug there in Lilydale.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we do have the Donate Now page. You can head to fox.com.au. And remember, it can be $5. Doesn't have to be big amounts if we all put a little bit in. And I think what's been so nice is, as we said before, hearing from kids. And Nathan is six, and he's calling in from Pakenham. Hi, Nathan.
Hi.
Nathan, you've called the radio. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes, I'm going to donate $10.
Good.
On you on Christmas.
Oh, Nathan, that is so sweet. You've made me cry, Nathan. That's a good thing, though. It's good tears. I just find that so beautiful, Nathan. So lovely of you to give back to other kids that maybe won't get presents this Christmas.
Thank you.
Well done, little champion. What a legend.
Sweet. And remember,
and to kids, that means so much. Like, I know when, like, you give your kids, like, $2 or they get, like, the tooth fairy, they get money, and it's like they treasure that money. For Nath to give up $10, that's huge as a six-year-old.
I know. And as we said, we've raised $30,000, and these gifts will all be, and we're funneling all this money through to Anglicare, and they go and hand select the presents. They find out what kids want. They wrap them. They deliver them. You know, let's do this. Let's make sure every kid gets that special Christmas morning this year.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, yesterday about this time, we were talking about Adele and how at her one and only show, she invited a guy to propose to his girlfriend. And we were talking about the pressure of saying yes in that. Like, if the girl had any second thoughts and was, like, trying to get out of the relationship, and then in front of Adele and all the famous people in the crowd, hard to say no. And then, Feb, you did jump off the swings, which is our boss would say.
I'm not allowed to say that.
I know,
Alex,
I'm so sorry. But you did. You went off in another area, and I did promise you something.
I'd love to know, you know, with weddings, when they go, I do, and then does anyone else room? I'd love to have someone just go, I've always wanted to do it. Not that I disagree with it, but I just want to see the reaction.
It's such a good area that. Let's do that tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
That is a really good area. I really like it too. So 24 hours later, we're back. Sometimes
going to a different playground pays off.
You went to a great playground at the wrong time, but we're back today to ask that question on 13, 10, 60.
What about if they said no in the proposal?
Have you ever seen, if you've been the person, but if you've ever seen the hand go up when the priest or the celebrant, whoever it is, the pastor says, does anybody here object to this wedding going forward? Have you witnessed I do have a problem with this.
What about if someone like ran in that she sort of loves and he loves her and then breaks up the wedding? They run in like a movie.
I think that's on Midday Movies. I'm not sure it really happens. I saw it on Days of Our Lives once.
Did you?
If anyone who knows the characters, Bo did that to Hope. Hope was marrying Larry and Bo rode in on a Harley Davidson and broke up the wedding.
And if you haven't seen it, you can watch today and I reckon you'll catch up.
Just turn on TV now. It'll be on any channel.
Do you reckon it's ever happened, though?
Well, I don't know. Well, we should have almost done it. We got one.
Yeah, because I sit there at weddings, and we've all been to a lot of weddings, and I'm sitting there on the chair going, please, someone say I object.
That was the most nervous moment I had at my own wedding.
Surely
somebody's going to look at my wife and look at me and go, we've got to step in. This can't go ahead.
One question. Are you in labour right now?
Are you a billionaire?
Did three sisters marry three brothers?
Are you Amish?
Do you have a panic room?
Have you been abducted by aliens?
Have you married an object?
Have you died?
All we need is one caller.
We got one!
Have you witnessed someone object at a wedding or even heard about it? We'd love to hear the story.
Surely there's one in Melbourne. 13 10 60 is our number. We'll take your calls next.
We got one!
The question is, have you seen someone object at a wedding? Bev, you thought of this question 24 hours ago, yesterday, and we've come back to see if we can get it answered for you. And unbelievably,
we got one!
We got one! Ron in Germana. Ron, hi.
Good morning.
Ron, Fev, you're probably the most excited you've been to hear.
Oh, mate, I'm waiting.
We can't wait for the story, Ron. Did you witness an objection?
Well, not really. We're at the wedding after the wedding.
Oh, after the wedding?
After.
Oh.
Big reception at the Grand Hyatt, everything laid on, full on, and the groom got up to make a speech, and he thanked the father-in-law for putting on a great spread and saying everyone looked wonderful. And then he looked at the best man and he looked at the bride and he said, I'd like to thank the best man for stupping my wife for the last 6 months. And he got up and walked out.
No! Ron!
Wow! I've seen this before. I've heard about this. Remember when they put the...
That was a movie.
It's not a movie. How many times I have to tell you it's real? It was in Germany.
Fev, all you've done as an adult is kick snags and watch movies. So it's one of those two. If it didn't happen in the square at the G,
man,
it was
I'm
in a movie.
Telling you, Ron, old Ronnie Diulio the money.
Did you see it? So, Ron, you were there when that happened.
Yeah.
Did you get to the bottom of why he waited till then? Like, it's interesting.
He wanted to get square.
Because it's all paid for.
Yeah. So you might as well go ahead.
Genius.
Yeah.
Take all his mates.
Did
you took the words right out of my mouth.
Did the bride leave? Did the best man leave?
The best man ran. The father of the bride tried to hide under the table. And the bride ran out screaming, followed by her mother.
Oh, gee. That's a good. That's
how good.
Hey, man,
the
that's
willpower.
Sick.
That meant that groom had to stand at the wedding and say his vows, knowing that he didn't mean a word of it.
But it would have been amazing. You would have been sitting there, that happy boxy. You would have been wrapped.
Ron,
did
the party continue like a movie? Yeah. Is there just a little bit of silence and then the band kicks off?
Because we're all a bunch of smartasses, we decided to party and drink all the grog.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Wow.
It's happened. I told you.
That doesn't sound smartass. That's just smart. That's just stock standard smart.
101.9 The Fox.
I am chuckling because...
You'll laugh at herself?
Well, no. What's happened here is... there was a breaking news story this morning and I believe Celeb Spellcheck was at it again and has leaked the Kardashian Google searches. So apparently some hacker has got into all the Kardashians' Google search engines and has leaked what they've been searching on Google. So Leon said, this is great. This is really juicy. You should do it on air. And I went, yeah, well, the boys and I will love talking about what the Kardashians are Googling. So about 5 minutes ago, Leon handed me the article.
Can I ask, I thought they'd be rich enough that Google is just like an actual person in their house. You go, oi.
Siri.
Oi, what's the capital of Mongolia? And someone just has to answer you, you know?
Well,
I'm not typing if I'm that loaded.
I thought, I'm really interested in this. Let me have a look at it. And the more I looked at it, the more I realised I think it's a really well-executed gag. It's very funny.
Oh.
So, for instance, Khloe. Khloe Kardashian, apparently, according to this leak, has asked the number one thing she's been Googling, how to scrub photo from internet. Because remember that photo she didn't like of herself because she hadn't had it airbrushed.
Establishments in Vegas.
How to get Met Gala ticket because she's the one that doesn't get invited.
That's funny.
These are funny gags.
These are good gags.
Kourtney Kardashian has Googled this apparently. Is it Blink 182 or 1-8-2? See, that's funny.
Good gag.
I think this is a good script.
Did Leon fall for a meme?
Leon, have you given me a joke and thought it was real news?
I don't watch the Kardashians. I assume they're that dumb.
This is funny. Kendall, one of the things she's apparently
Googled.
They're
the richest people in the world. Smart as.
She's
a lawyer.
Kendall apparently has Googled this. Again, this is a very funny joke. Things to yell at NBA game.
She goes out with Devin Booker.
I mean, yeah, of course, because, well, she goes out with a lot of basketballers, so she sits at lots of NBA games, and this is funny. Do you want to hear more jokes?
Yeah, I do. I like this.
So another thing.
Yeah, as a
Kendall, comedian, look at the comedian.
As a professional comedian, I just love having memes read at me.
Come on, jump on the swing, bro.
Has Kendall Googled this, or is this a joke? Will Pepsi solve Astroworld?
Good.
Oh, geez.
The Pepsi.
Oh, geez, that's grim. I'm on board again. That's grim. That is new and grim. I love it.
Kylie. I haven't gone to Kylie yet.
Kylie, only the richest woman in the world now.
Is 16 and 24 legal? I didn't even get the joke.
Oof. I don't get that either.
I wouldn't have read that one out.
I probably
wouldn't
have read that one out, Boxy.
So. Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
I just pretended that conversation didn't happen.
No, we were talking about how life works and how,
yeah,
you know.
It's just an evolution of
I just heard three
growth.
Men talking about breastfeeding women. It made me very uncomfortable.
Fev's pitching to be in the life ed van.
Oh, feel like I was in biology class.
Yes, we're on air. Now, let's move on. Hey, I wanted to share something with you. Daisy, my two-year-old, she is out and about now. And when I say that, so she went in the first lockdown, she was 9 months old. So last year was a bit of a write-off. Then we sort of got her back out in the world. And then she spent, you know, 3 or 4 months in lockdown this year. And I don't know whether other people with toddlers, because you two have them, can relate, but it's getting her back into society.
Yeah.
Because she's not used to other people. And so I told you the other day we went shopping. I took her to a shopping centre and she's got to get her little brain around seeing a book in a window and thinking it's her book and demanding I go and get it. And I'm like, no, you've got that book at home, sweetheart. That's not your book. And just cracks it. Anyway, her new thing is, so I'll give you an example. Shopping at a supermarket yesterday. And to get her, I put her in the trolley and we walk around.
That's my supermarket.
Well, she does say, my. But I got her some little cheese dippers so she could enjoy that while I was shopping and distract her. Mm-hmm. So she was holding her box of cheese dippers like they were her prized possession. It might as well have been like, you know, pure gold. And we were going through the checkout and I notified her, I said to the lady, and she's holding the cheese dippers, so I have to buy those. And the lady went to grab them.
Oh, no.
That's a bad move.
And her new thing, it's not just, no, it's, hey! Just, hey! And the woman jumped. She's kept grabbing it. And Daisy has screamed at the top of her lungs. The poor lady was going, it's okay, I'll give them back. I've just got to quickly swipe them, I'll give them back. Like, nervous around this two-year-old.
I've had this happen. So from now on, whenever I give Tobes, like, a Chupa Chup or some of the, like, a roll-up packet or something, I grab an extra one. And then when we go through the checkout, they scan it and then I run it back. We'll get one of the kids to run it back.
Well, that's what I think I'll have to do.
Yeah.
Because she did it again. We were at, the other day, I think I told you, we're at Kmart and she was holding a book and I went, I have to get her that book now. And I said to the lady, there's the book there. She goes, I just need to swipe it. And I said, okay, good luck. I'm out of this. I step away as the mum because I can't handle her. And she's just, hey!
You know what Charlie eats in the supermarket? Nothing, because we haven't paid for it yet, mate. It's not how it works.
101.9 The Fox.
Fifi Fever Nick's nickname detective. Very 1060
Corner.
Time for a supply nickname detectives.
We love your nicknames and we love figuring out how you got them. Robin from Roeville. Hi, Robin.
Hi.
Robin, welcome to Nickname Detectives. We're at the ready to solve the case. What is your nickname?
Sparky.
Are you an electrician?
No.
Did you put something in a power socket? Mm.
No.
Did you cause a blackout?
No.
Are you happy, cheery, got a little sparkle about you?
I am, but that's not the reason.
Is there something about a bird, the robin? Is that a, what's
no.
anything to do with a bird?
No.
Sparky.
This is going to sound right. Are you not a bright spark? So they've gone the opposite, like Bluey with a ringer?
No.
It's your last name. What's your last name, Sparks?
No, Carter.
Did you run into a thunderstorm, go running around outside while lightning was happening?
God.
No.
Does it have anything to do with electricity?
No.
No. Are you married to a Sparky?
No.
Ooh, God, we're struggling, man.
I've had it for a while.
So you were a kid.
Oh, did your hair used to stand up? Like you'd been electrocuted.
Good
you know,
one.
Like at Science Works, you put your hands on that orb.
I like it, Nick. Good.
No.
No, good guess, you're out.
Good
Robin,
guess, man.
You've got us. Why is your nickname Sparky?
Because when I was young, I was given a watch and it kept on gaining time, and my uncle thought I had sparks in me or whatever and called me Sparky.
I don't reckon we would ever got that if we sat here for a day.
Never. No. Never.
Never.
And I wonder why your watch was gaining time.
Yeah.
Do you mean just going forward? Mm.
Yeah, gaining time all the time, yeah.
Wow.
That's a good one. That's good one, and I like it. It's creative. Your uncle's done well there, Sparky.
Yeah. Well, I've had it for over 40 years. So,
wow.
And he still calls me that. So.
It's very, very creative. My parents would have called me Crap Watch.
Thank you, Robin. Matt in Druin. Hey, Matt.
How are you?
Very good. What's good. Your nickname?
My nickname I've been given is Fuzzy.
Fuzzy.
Do you have fuzzy hair?
Yes.
Bang.
There we go. Did I get it?
Is there more?
Oh, half there.
Half.
Ooh. Fuzzy. Got an afro, obviously.
Fuzzy hair? Yeah.
I do have an afro.
Yeah.
So.
But there's more to it.
There's more to it. More to it. The fuzzy hair. Okay. Fuzzy chest?
Yeah. Chest hair? Yeah, getting there.
You got a lot of hair. You're a hairy man.
Back hair. Fuzzy back hair.
Man.
I am a hairy man, yes.
Bang.
You got it.
I got it from the guys at work at the beginning of the week. I was clean shaven and hair slick back, and by the end of the week I've had enough and hair's out everywhere.
Looking like a chia pet.
Yeah, the guys at work just called me Fuzzy, and it's been with me for 13 years.
I thought you were trying to control it, Matt, and then let it go. Hair's great. I love a hirsute man.
When you're a fuzzy redhead, like, you can't really do much about it.
No, go with it, Matt.
Just ask Nick.
Hey, come on, guys.
Mate, redhead, you stick together, bro.
Guys, I reckon we got that. I reckon we're one for one.
Definitely.
Yeah, we got that 100%. You got it first go.
Dylan in Carrum Downs. Hi, Dylan.
Good morning, legends. How are we?
Very well, Dylan. Very well. Great intro. Thank you for that. What's your nickname?
It's Brackets.
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 Are you, like, really fastidious with punctuation?
I wish, but no.
Brackets.
Brackets.
What? Oh, brackets, Dylan.
What's the other word for bracket? Like, brackets isn't brackets in grammar, but aren't brackets
like
something?
Building.
Building brackets? Is it building brackets, or is it brackets, like, that you put around words?
No, brackets that you put around words.
Okay. Brackets. Is it something to do with the classroom, like when you're at school?
Nope.
Come on, guys.
Mate, I've got brackets. I don't know what brackets is.
Like, are you round?
I've got no idea.
Slightly on the heavier scale of round, yeah.
Is that to do with the nickname?
Yep.
So, Nick, how did you get there? Drawing the dots.
I thought back to when I would tease people, so up until right now. And knowledge to go brackets. If a bloke's that sort of shape,
is that right,
you could say
Dylan?
Brackets.
Is that how you got it?
Well, when I played football, I wore the number 11.
Oh, yeah.
The jersey stretched out a little bit and the ones have turned into brackets.
Football
clubs, man, that's the best.
So that my gridiron nickname was Bathtub. Because I was only 80 kilos, but my helmet was a double XL, and it was a big white helmet, and they'd say it looked like a bathtub. I could have a bath in there. Any sport club related bullying is not bullying, it's friendship.
It's the best.
Very good. Well, how do we go?
I was going to say, we got it. 2-1.
2-1, man.
Not bad.
Not
bad.
Kept the scoreboard, but we won that one.
101.9, The Fox.
Here's something you might not look forward to. No, I think you will. But maybe if you reflect on the past when you've been at cinemas, here's a little factoid about cinemas that we didn't know. And
depends
what
age we're at, Boxy.
Well, that's what I mean. You might not care now. You're going to see, like, Disney animated films. But a cinema worker has revealed, like, their behind-the-scenes secrets that happen at cinemas. And one of the things that I didn't realise is that cinema workers have access to night vision goggles.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
No.
They've got night vision goggles. It's a game changer.
Wow. So what, them and the SAS both have that technology.
Yeah.
Why is a 15-year-old at Hoyts got the same headgear as a bloke tracking the Taliban?
So that's when we went to the jam factory at 12 o'clock in the morning, Boxy.
Yes.
By ourselves, that people could have been watching.
There were, I think it was a full cinema of media. I think there was no...
I used to go to... I don't know if anyone else did it, but remember the... they used to have cinema marathons and you'd go at like...
Yeah, movie marathon.
Movie marathons, yes. You'd go at like 10 o'clock at night and it'd finish at like 8 in the morning.
Did you do that?
Yeah, you go with all your friends and you just have like take sleeping bags. Everyone would sleep in the aisles and you'd watch like 3 or 4 different movies.
Really? What did you watch? Normally it was like all I didn't watch much, Nick. Oh, jeez.
How old were you when you were doing that?
15, 16.
Wow. Just like, a little... I didn't do a movie marathon.
Smoogies?
Yeah, no, I never did one.
No.
Have I missed out? Is it too late?
Yeah,
they still doing them?
It might be a bit late, mate.
Oh,
remember the Astor in on Chapel Street? Yeah. They would do doubles. Like I remember you'd go and see, they still do that, Leon. Like I remember going to see like Breakfast at Tiffany's and then another Audrey Hepburn movie after that. Is that right, Leon? Do they still do that?
Yeah, they have new movies. They also do those classic double features classic and double movie marathons features. As well.
It's a big night though.
Just back-to-back Audrey Hepburn films. Oof. Look out, Chapel Street. There's a loose unit here.
Hilariously Melbourne. The Spotlight. Make Christmas yours this year with bargains galore at Spotlight. 101.